Well, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I know that you do, I want to go back to the book of Joshua. And I want to look at Joshua chapter 6 and chapter 7 in the time that we have. I want to talk to you about a message that I titled, Roadblocks on the Pathway to Success. Roadblocks on the Pathway to Success. Mark Twain was once asked his secret of his success. And you know what Mark Twain said the secret of his success was? He said, I was born excited. Are y'all excited this morning? We are on holy ground. We have just sung to the Lord. We know that the Lord is here because the Bible says He is here. He's in His church. He's in His sanctuaries when His people meet. We are His people. We have gathered here this morning to worship Him, but we've also gathered here this morning to learn. And some of us have roadblocks on the pathway to success. A man by the name of Robert Kriegel, who was an advisor, said enthusiasm is the single most important factor. Enthusiasm is the single most important factor differentiating outstanding performance from good performance. Kind of goes along with my utmost for His highest, my very best for His glory. And we're giving Him our very best. We're glorifying Him. And He also is giving us His very best. And, you know, the point that I want to make here as we take a look at Joshua is that some of us, I believe, maybe not right here, but some of us, maybe from time to time, are losing the victory that Jesus Christ has already won for us. He won the victory on the cross. And sometimes Satan or maybe ourselves will put a roadblock that says, is that really true? If that were really true, then why are you continuing to live the way you're continuing to live? And we know that doesn't come from God. That comes from Satan putting a roadblock up there. People are living like they're defeated. Have you noticed Christians? There doesn't seem to be any joy. There doesn't seem to be any smiling. There doesn't seem to be any hope in their life. Sometimes you're around a Christian and it can be a downer. It can be a woe is me moment. Well, that's not the way that we reflect Jesus Christ. And so I want us to be sure and certain that we are to live with characteristics of Jesus Christ. Christ was not defeated. Christ had the victory. Christ said, I live in you, and you live in me. Let that sink in. I live in you, and you live in me. Christ was enthusiastic. Christ was full of joy. And again, Christ had the victory. And that's the image that He expects us to project, no matter how difficult our life gets. And some of you are experiencing some really difficult things in life. Some aren't here this morning because they're experiencing some really difficult things in life. And God says, I know and I understand. Well, this is a wonderful book. I go to Joshua so often, but the book of Joshua, it's a wonderful book. And I want to look at two things this morning. I want to look at a miracle that God did through the nation of Israel, through Joshua as the commander leading the nation of Israel, the second generation into the promised land. And then I want us to look at a tragic story, how a roadblock took away all that victory, took away all that glory that they experienced at Jericho. And what I want to do is I want to read beginning in chapter 6, just a few of the verses because you know the story, but I want to set the tone for it. I want to set the background for it. And then what I want to do is I want to look first of all at the tragic lessons that happened in that little city called Ai. And what can we glean from that in our life as we walk here on this course, this path that God has laid out for us? And then I want us to look at I believe, are the huge lessons of faith going back to Jericho. So I'm kind of reversing this. We're going to look at what happened after Jericho, and then we're going to look back at the encouragement that we can get from the faith and the miracle that God did there in Jericho, because Jericho is what God is giving to us every day. He wants to give it to us every day. He wants to do a miracle in our lives. So let's take a look at this, and let me begin reading in chapter 6 of Joshua. I'm going to read just a few verses from 6 and then a few verses from chapter 7. Now Jericho, verse 1, was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war, going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, straight up, every one straight before him." Now let's turn over to Joshua chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. This is at Ai now, Ai. "But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things, for Achan the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Bethaven, east of Bethel, and said to them, 'Go up and spy out the land.' And the men went up and they spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and they said to him," now catch this, this is kind of like an underdog sports team, so underdog that nobody believes they can win. And they go in to that enemy's, so to speak, that foe's field, that home field, and they get the victory. Now listen to this. And he said, "Do not have all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are few." So about 3,000 men went up from there, from the people, and they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai killed about 36 of their men, and they chased them before the gate as far as Shabarim, and they struck them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted, and they became as water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening. And he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their forehead. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord, why have you brought the people over the Jordan at all to give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us?" Sounds familiar, doesn't it? From that first generation that God wiped out in the desert when they came across out of Egypt, the Red Sea. And even though God was with them, and he was with them by day, and he was with them by night, and he was giving them signs, and he gave them everything that they needed to get to the promised land. It sounds very familiar. God, why did you do this? You ever been in a situation where you think your faith is strong, you think everything's under control, and then God shows you that you are not in control, that he's in control, and we begin to wonder, Satan says, "Well, maybe you did, or maybe you didn't." And we begin to wonder. Again, that's not coming from God, because God's given us a victory. God has given us a victory on the cross, and he has given us God himself to live inside of us with all that power, with all that wisdom, with all that knowledge, with everything we will ever need to bring down a roadblock that's in our life that is keeping us from progressing. And whatever that progression is that God may have you on, it may be a progression of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Maybe it's a progression that God is putting something on your heart that he wants you to do that you think, well, that's impossible. I can never do that. Well, if you're thinking that, that's a roadblock. And God says, if it's from me, I can bring it down. Well, the first tragedy of the roadblock happened at Ai. And so I want to look at that, just a few things about that. Four things about tragic lessons of greed. That's what happened at Ai. It was greed. Look at verse 1 again. And the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. For Achan the son of Carmi and all those names there. And the anger of the Lord burned against the people. Fresh from the thrill of victory. Fresh from the miracle. They didn't have to do a thing but walk around Jericho. And then blow the trumpets and shout with a loud voice. And it crumbled as a miracle. And God gave them the victory there. So there they were feeling really great. God was with me. I don't have to worry about these little people up here at Ai. That's such a small town. No, captains, you don't need to send all those people. There's just a few of them up there. We'll take care of them pretty quickly. Look what we did here at Jericho. You catch that? Look what we did here at Jericho. And so they go up there without the Lord, and they get wiped out, so to speak. They caused death. They went up in their own strength. Look at verse 11. Israel has sinned. In fact, look at verse 10. The Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings." That's a pretty serious charge. When God looks at you, or he looks at me, looks at somebody, Christian perhaps, and he says, "You've stolen from me." This is not a tithing sermon, but I wonder how God sees us when he gives us all these blessings, miracle after miracle, blessing after blessing, and we hold just a little bit back. Well, I'm sure you'll understand, God. I'll catch up with you later. Only one man, this is so important, only one man stole at Ai. Those things that God said, they're for me. Sit those for me. Only one man. And notice there in verse 11 again, you might circle that. They have. One man did it, but God says they have. They have sinned against me, meaning the nation of Israel. Look down at verse 20. Something interesting here. And Achan answered Joshua, "Truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I did." Did you catch that? Let me read that again. And Achan answered Joshua, "Truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and I took them." That's not a confession. He's not confessing to the Lord. He got found out by the Lord, caused the deaths of some Israel soldiers, caused the death of people. And it cost his own life and his family's life. But that's not a confession. That's not repentance. What's he doing? He's making an excuse. He's saying, I acted inappropriately, God. But he doesn't repent. Doesn't fall on his face. Joshua fell on his face. Sometimes God is waiting for us. And I want to talk about this in just a minute. Sometimes he's waiting for us to fall on our face. I told someone this morning, I said, I have truly been humbled. I mean, I have been humbled. If there's any pride that's in me, and I guess there's still pride in me because I'm sharing this with you. So it must mean I still have some pride there. They say when you're humble, I guess maybe you've got some more work to do. But God has a way of humbling you. Why does he do that? So that we know it's not in our strength. It's not anything we do. It's what he does. That's what he did. It was in his strength in Jericho that he did that. It was not in his strength. It was not in his will what happened at Ai. And so what happens then? We have a roadblock. And note how this progresses from, for Achan, it progressed from desire. Do you ever have a desire? And maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, no, 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 no. But you have this desire and then you act on it. That's what Achan did. He had this desire. Well, they surely won't miss these little things. So he took them, had the thought up here, went ahead and did it, and it caused destruction. And don't miss this. Because of selfish greed, again, one man in Israel caused the death and experienced the death and the defeat of the nation of Israel, of the army of Israel, right there in Ai. Greed spoiled the victory. Greed spoiled the miracle again that God had just done previous to that at Jericho. Well, what do we learn from a tragedy such as this? I think there's some things we can learn. Four things very quickly. Number one, God has a right. Listen to me. God has the right to claim anything for himself. God has the right to tell us to tithe. God has the right to tell us to give this. God has the right to say, don't do that. God has the right to speak through the Holy Spirit and tell us to wait. I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles for just a second. Turn there to the right to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. This kind of captures this thought. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 14. Let me find verse 14 here. And he says, and this is David. David's praying in the assembly, and he says, but who am I? What is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? Now catch this. For all things come from you. And of your own have we given you. You catch that? We know that, don't we? We know that all things come from the Lord. And David says, we know that. And of your own have we given you. Now look down at verse 16. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house, for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. It's all this sanctuary, this building. It's all God's. You and I are all God. He bought us, paid the price on the cross. And now we are, as Christians, bearing the name Christ. We are his. And he can ask anything from us. He can demand anything from us. Why? Because essentially he owns us. Because we have been made into the image of Christ, and Satan doesn't like that. So he's going to put roadblocks into our spiritual journey. And sometimes those roadblocks are going to trip us off like it did Achan. God has a right to claim anything. We need to understand everything we possess belongs to God. My car belongs to God. My wife belongs to God. My children belong to God. They're Christians. This church that I have been so blessed to be able to pastor, we belong to God. And God says, yeah, Ted, you testify about the miracles that I did when this sanctuary was destroyed, this church was destroyed. But don't ever forget it was me. It wasn't the fact you canceled the insurance, flood insurance. But I came in here. This is all mine, Ted. Everything here is mine. I'm just allowing you to use this. I'm allowing you to use your voice that I can speak through. I'm allowing you to use this technology that I have gifted you. It's all mine. I even allow you to give back to me, not because I need it, because I want to see, how are you doing? How are you doing, Ted? Secondly, beware of the enemy. Beware of the enemy within. And I mean by that the self-centered greed. This was kind of hard for me to look at and to pray about and to prepare and how to present this to you this morning. But beware of the enemy within. And that enemy within is self-centeredness and it's greed. Israel's thought that they had the victory because of their army at Jericho. But the most dangerous thing was Achan and what he did. Again, that one sin that he did. You know the worst enemy? Who do you think your worst enemy is? Can I tell you who my worst enemy is? Me, myself. I'm my worst enemy. Well, how can you say that? Well, because that enemy lives inside of me. It lives inside of my brain. My enemy lives inside of my thoughts. My enemy lives inside of, oh, God, I really want to do this. And my enemy in myself says, well, go ahead and do it. God will understand. Or maybe the enemy says, well, you can't get around that roadblock. You're never going to progress doing the things that you're doing. But where's it coming from? It's coming from the enemy. The enemy within me has my own skin. It's got my own brain. It's got my own thoughts. I tell you, that's a scary thing. If you knew what was inside me. Huh? Well, don't look so pious there. Because God knows what's inside of you. Sometimes we are our worst enemy. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever said that? Have you ever had somebody say, you're your worst enemy? I'm telling you, you are a beautiful person. I'm telling you, God made you exactly like He is. Oh, no, He would never made me like this. Yeah, He would. Because He did. So what does that mean about our thoughts? What do we do with that enemy that is inside of us? The truth is that God catalogs selfishness right alongside of a physical sin. When God looks at us and we're our own worst enemy and we're doing these things that we know we shouldn't do, but because we just have to have it. You ever just had to have it? And you justified it? Kind of like what Achan was doing. I'm justifying it. Lord, this is why I did this. Didn't repent of it. But he uses that same brain. We use that same brain. Our enemy uses that same brain to create destruction into our life. The truth is God catalogs selfish greed along with physical sin. And that is a spiritual marker that we are not where God wants us to be. And so he is going to allow us, if we will confess, allow us, if we will if we will repent. Allow us, if we will come back to God, maybe for the 103rd time of the thing which may be your roadblock, and say, God, forgive me again. Forgive me again. And what does God say? I do. Now get up and move on. There's a third thing here that I want us to see about a tragic lesson at Ai, and that is a little sin produces great suffering. A little sin produces great suffering. You know, you're all familiar. You've seen the movie, perhaps the Titanic, the great ship Titanic, the unsinkable Titanic, and on its maiden voyage in 1912, what happened? Struck an iceberg, and it took over 1,500 people on that ship to that icy death there in the Atlantic. And it was just a few years ago that some scientists found the Titanic, and they were projecting pictures back for us to look at. And for years, the accepted theory was that there was a huge gash. When they hit that iceberg, there was this huge gash that torn in the hull, and that caused the ship to sink. Actually, what the scientists found out, that's not what happened at all with the Titanic. They discovered there were only six small slits. Six small slits spanning the length of the Titanic. And those small slits took that ship down, along with 1,500 people. Small sins, we may think, is a small sin. Well, God, it was a white lie. I'm sure you'll understand. And that little small sin is what Satan is looking for. He's just waiting. Because he knows this thing living inside of us, ourself, is our worst enemy. And sooner or later, if the bait is really attractive, without God, we're going to bite. And that little sin, we know, that little sin caused the death of soldiers, and it caused the death of Achan and his family. Our little sin has the potential to cause harm and hurt to other people. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, it says, if one part suffers, every part, Paul says, suffers with it. Could this happen in Pine Drive? Could one sin in Pine Drive cause all of us to suffer? Yes, it could. This is one of the lessons, I believe, that God is showing us. Everything is mine. I've given you the word. Believe the word of God. Don't believe what you may be thinking, what Satan may be doing in your head. And trust me with all of your heart. There's a fourth thing that I want us to see here very quickly. Don't whine to the Lord when there's hidden sin in your life. Don't whine to the Lord. I love that. David said, we're not David, but Joshua fell on his face, and God interrupted Joshua. What was he doing? He was praying. He fell on his face and he was praying. And I love what God did. He said, Joshua, get up. Not time to pray. It's time to do what I told you to do as the leader of the army. Sometimes we pray when we really know that we need to stop praying and get up and do what God called us to do. And sometimes we pray, and we pray, and we pray, and we whine, and we whine. And God says, I want you to get up because your sin has to be dealt with, and we're going to deal with it right now. There may be sin in here today. The next time you sin, if you're not dealing with it, God's going to say, it's time we deal with your sin. This sin is a roadblock to what I've got planned for you. And somebody may say, well, I don't know if God's got anything planned for me. Yeah, he does. One of the things he's got planned for you and for me is we're going to stand before him one day and we're going to account for what we did here on this earth. You know, there's another difference between Jericho and Ai. Joshua was on his face in worship and he surrendered before Jericho. He was on his face and he surrendered. But there was no prayer at Ai, not from Joshua, not from anybody. There was no prayer. I can do this, Lord. Look at what you just did. I can do this. We don't need flood insurance. We've already experienced it. We don't need it. Never going to happen again. Write me and tell me about it if I'm still alive. We know that tragedy is going to happen. And so God wants us to be prepared. Joshua was on his face after Ai. Yeah, he got on his face after Ai, after all these things happened. And God said, look at what happened. And he told him. He told Joshua what had happened. And he knew who did it. And he said, go to this man's tent. Well, what was Joshua doing this time? He wasn't worshiping God. He was whining. He was making excuses. He said, God, why did you bring this on me? Why did you bring this on the nation of Israel? See how quickly things can turn in our mind. When we're doing things our way after God gives us a beautiful victory. And just like that, it can turn. Just as it happened here. So get, you know, one of the things I think I learned, I didn't put this in here, but in your outline, but one of the things I've learned is that we need to get on our face before the battle. If we get on our face before the battle, God's going to take care of the battle. And so that when he takes care of the battle, we can be on our face praising God for the victory that he gave us. The healing, the whatever, the financial situation, the job, the ministry, whatever. But the time is to get on our face before that. And you know what that will do? I believe it will prevent misery. I believe it will prevent misery in your life or misery in my life or even ministry or misery in the church. Well, very quickly here, let's take a look at Joshua in chapter 6 that I read previously. Let's look at some of these huge lessons that I believe, and that's exactly how I wrote it there, huge lessons of faith. Jericho represents that roadblock on the pathway to progress for the nation of Israel. And let me just say, anytime you are moving forward with the Lord, or I'm moving forward with the Lord, the enemy, whatever that enemy is, whoever that enemy is going to try to put a roadblock in front of you. He's just going to do it because that's what the Bible says he will do. Satan's going to throw up a fortress against you. He's going to throw up a mountain that is so high. God says if you have the faith of a tiny mustard seed, you can bring that mountain down. Not meaning me, but that means God. I can give you the victory with just a little bit of faith. And sometimes if we're honest with ourselves, kind of like Mercy Me sings, sometimes it's easy to get up here and preach about faith until my faith is tested. And then sometimes it's kind of tough to preach faith. Because God is going to give you, he's going to give you that opportunity to trust him and to believe in him. Well, the first lesson of faith is that you're never too old for a fresh encounter with the Lord. Joshua was probably 70 years old by that time when he took that nation in there. Look at chapter 5, verse 13. He said, when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. We looked at that last week. Joshua was walking around there, contemplating what he was about to do as the commander of the nation of Israel to go into the promised land. And God said, no, I'm not for you or against you. I'm the commander of the Lord's army. I'm here to take you into Jericho, into that promised land, into the victory I've got planned for you. And Joshua, the Bible says, fell on his face and he began to worship the Lord, as I mentioned before. Listen, the mistake that we think sometimes our greatest experiences with the Lord are in the past. They're not. I am the most effective. You heard me say this several times. I am the most effective. You are the most effective. If you look kind of like me, I'll pray for you. But you know what I mean. In terms of age, you're at your most effective because you've been through some real wars, real battles with Satan, real battles with yourself. And God brought you out into victory. And he said, I came to take over. Listen, we all can have a fresh encounter with Jesus Christ right now, no matter where you are, no matter what you're experiencing. Secondly, you're never too old for a fresh encounter. And secondly, your battle is won on your face before the Lord. When Joshua fell on his face, God gave him the victory in the battle of Jericho. And he said, it's already won. Is there a battle that you may be fighting right now that nobody knows about? Or maybe somebody close to you knows about? Is there a battle that you're fighting right now? Why don't you give it to the Lord? Why don't you give that battle that you're dealing with? Give it to the Lord right now. Don't even wait until the invitation. Give it to the Lord right now. God, you know the battle I'm fighting. And God, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it on my own. And I'm asking you. Finally, Joshua understood the battle wasn't his. The victory wasn't his. It was the Lord's. Notice that some of the deepest, most wonderful encounters. Have you ever noticed that some of the deepest, most wonderful encounters you ever had is when you're alone with the Lord? I mean, it's just you and God. And God speaks to us through his word, through the Holy Spirit. There's a third lesson here of faith. Effective faith obeys even if you don't understand. Effective faith obeys even if you don't understand. God gave a really peculiar military order to Joshua. There were times when I would receive an order from my commanding general, and I wasn't kind of wondering what in the world. And so you go back and you talk to him. Sir, what did you mean by this? Or is this really what you want us to do? Well, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to come to him. If there's something we don't understand, we're still to do it if it came from God. And it's okay to talk to God about it. It's okay to ask him to help you to understand. Simply walk around the city 13 times, God? What kind of a victory, what kind of an order is this? What are the people going to think? They're going to think I lost my mind. God says, I didn't. I know what I'm doing. Trust me with all of your heart. Something so impregnable that you have gotten a victory over it. Is there something so impregnable there's just no way that you can get the victory over it? God says, I can give you the victory. Jericho is God's gift to you. This story is God's gift to you in Christ. You and me and I and you, together we do this. One day when we stand before the Lord, If he should ask why I gave so much of my ministry and why I didn't want to give up being a pastor and a preacher, I think he'll understand why I didn't give up being a preacher. He may not understand why I didn't want to give up being a pastor. But if he should ask me, why have you given so much for your work, for God's work? I hope I don't say because I love these people at Pine Drive. I hope I don't say that. I hope I don't say because I love the church. I hope I don't say because I loved preaching. I hope I look at Jesus and say, because I loved you, Jesus. Because I loved you, I will do anything for you for as long as you want me to do it. Can you say that this morning? It's because of Jesus. We're doing it for him. And I just want to close with this. God may be in the process of performing a miracle in our church right now. He may be. I don't know. He may be. This has been, as I mentioned, a church of miracles. And many of you know that. But there's only two things that can spoil if God's got a miracle in place for us. And he's just waiting. There's only two things that can prevent God from doing the miracle here at Pine Drive. Number one, greed. Listen to me. Greed. We want it now. We want it now. We want him now. We want this now. And God says, it's in my time. And so we step out and we do something that causes harm and heartache and sets us back again. Individually as a church, we're not willing to wait. We're not willing to pray. We're not willing to continue to seek until we hear from God. And we're absolutely certain it's God and it's no one else. And the second thing is a lack of faith. That's why I'm preaching a message on faith. I preach it to me. God preaches it to me. A lack of faith. I believe after what God has done here in this church, it wasn't through me, it was through God. And it was for his church. And if we have the faith, you don't have to worry about the future. You don't have to worry about next week. You don't have to worry about the next pastor, the next whatever. God says, it's my church, trust me. Trust me, what you think is such a mountain in your life, give it to me. I can handle it. I won the victory for you on the cross of my son, Jesus Christ. Are you there this morning in that? Can you break down that roadblock of faith that is preventing you from progressing to where God wants you to be? Sometimes I wonder, and yet I think God has shown me why there's very few pastors 80 years of age pastoring a church. And that's why I believe that God intervenes and he says it's time. Sometimes you've got something in your heart and God says it's time. It's time. Give it to me. Trust me. You say, trust me with all of your heart and lean on your understanding. Well, I'm asking you right now to trust me. God may have a miracle waiting for your life individually, for your family, for whatever it is. Don't let a roadblock coming from Satan, one that he has erected, or a roadblock in our own mind, our own self. But let's give it to God. We're going to go before him right now as our praise team comes. And maybe there's something that you need to do with God this morning. Maybe it's his invitation. Maybe he already knows and he's already placed it upon your heart. Maybe there's someone here this morning that's just fearful. God, I'm afraid. I'm just afraid to give it up. I'm afraid. It's okay to be afraid. Every soldier goes into combat, if he's got any sense, he's afraid. But he trusts the man or the woman on his right and on his left. Who do you trust this morning? What do you need this morning? Let's go before the Lord and ask Him. Tell Him. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads, we bow our hearts. You know exactly what it is that we need. You know exactly what it is that you want to give to us, what you want to take away from us, what you want to replace. Heavenly Father, we're your people. God, sometimes we think we're really something, Lord, and then you bring us down as you did Joshua. You bring us down to our face. And God, that is a good place to be. The world doesn't understand that. When we say we're never as strong as when we're on our face before you. And God, that's where we are right now. Maybe people here this morning, right now, or on live stream, we're on our face, God, confessing to you, asking you, petitioning you. And Father, we know that you will hear. Father, if there's a heart here today that has never petitioned you for salvation, I pray that right now, if that heart is asking God, Lord, that you would just reach into their life with the love that you gave on the cross and let that person know, I'll help you. I'll come into your life. I'll help you to give up that sin. I'll help you to live a life that glorifies me. And if you just simply pray, dear Jesus, he's talking about me, come into my heart, Lord. Then God, let them know that right now, because it's faith, that they have passed, they have crossed from that road that leads to destruction to that road that leads to eternal life. God, let them know that. Don't let their mind, don't let Satan try to tell them any other thing, because it's true. And let them celebrate, Lord, and let them tell about Jesus. Lord, if there's someone here today that needs to continue to pray, as we stand and as we sing a few verses before you this morning, Lord, God, then the altar's open, our hearts are open, our family of God is open to pray with or for. And for someone looking for a church home, Lord, and the Holy Spirit is leading him here to Pine Drive, and God, our arms are open again. Father, this is your day. This is your time. God, don't let anything keep these people, to keep myself, from trusting you and from turning to you and for asking you and responding to you in your invitation. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you all stand and sing and respond to the Holy Spirit?